families and your community. Your worship team is off the chain. You guys are doing great things. Just to send you greetings. We love you and we're praying for you. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Victory Outreach. How are we doing this morning? Guys, go ahead and be seated. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, as my wife was saying, we're very excited to be here this morning. I was kind of taken off guard by the invitation from Pastor Francisco. Kind of caught me a little bit by surprise there, but I accept the invitation. I'm excited about the invitation. Amen. And I do believe that God is going to have a word for us this morning. Amen?
Yes.
But before we get started, I want to first of all give thanks to God for my salvation. That was back in April 27th, 2005, that I walked through the doors of a ministry that's very similar, very familiar with Victory Outreach called Teen Challenge.
Yes.
In Southern California. And it was there, even though I'd been saved for a while, had operated and worked in the church, it was on April 27, 2005, when I walked in those doors of Teen Challenge in Shafter, California, that it seemed like I heard the gospel for the very first time. Yeah. And it was that gospel message that changed my life. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my pastors, Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie, who allowed me to date and eventually marry one of their spiritual daughters. Amen. Praise God. I was an outsider. I didn't move to Dallas until 2009, and I started hanging around Victory Outreach probably about 2010, and I spotted her.
Oh, come on.
I spotted her. I came in on a Friday night and sat in the back row, and I saw her up there singing, and she was singing. I'll never forget the song that she was singing. She was leading the worship. And the song that she sang was, "Wrap me in your arms, wrap me in." And I just knew that she was speaking to me, amen. I just knew she was speaking to me. As a matter of fact, because I was the only one back there in that very last row, as she was singing that song, "Wrap me in your arms," I'd be like, "Wrap me in your arms." But God had us on a mission.
Amen.
God had us on a destiny. So about 6 years ago, this August, we got married. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for I call her my smoke barbecue rib. God has just given me a rib. He gave me a smoke barbecue rib.
Yeah.
Amen. See, I have a friend of mine named Herb Sanders. Herb says it like this. He says, "God will bless you down to your taste buds."
Yeah.
See, God knew I love smoked barbecue ribs, so guess what he did? He gave me one. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm also thankful for my children, Trinity and Drexel.
Amen.
They challenged me, amen. They really challenged me and pushed me to be a better father. I know sometimes I can be a little hard on you just because I love you. And I care about you. I know that God has great things in store for you, amen. So I'm not going to let up. I reached out to Arlington. So we didn't have an opportunity at that time to really kind of to meet, greet, and connect. But over the last 5 or 6 years, we've been able to do that on a pretty decent level. So I'm thankful for them and the great work that they're doing here in Arlington and Grand Prairie.
Amen.
And it's been a while since I've been here, but I can see the growth in all the different areas. And of course, you know, my wife pointed several of those out. But one of the things I'm really excited about is this here, this pulpit. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This pulpit came from where?
East Dallas.
So me and this pulpit has a little bit of history.
Come on, man.
So the very first time that I was asked by Pastor Jesse to share a word, I did it behind this pulpit.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah. So it's almost like I've gone full circle because the first time I'm being invited by Pastor Francisco to share a word, I get to do it. And then we're going to go ahead and get started. Amen. All right, open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 8. I need 4 amens, and then we'll get started.
Amen.
4 amens. There's 1. There's 2.
Amen.
There's 3. I know all y'all not there yet.
Come on, man.
I need 4 amens when you get there.
Hey.
Don't just shout them just to be shouting.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18.
Amen.
Amen. All right. One more time. Another amen.
Amen.
All right, we're there. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking, and the Lord is with him." Say amen.
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 The title of this message, if you want a title, is "What's Your Reputation?"
Wow.
What's your reputation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather here in your place of worship, God, and that we can worship you, God, and get into your word. Now, I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every single heart, including mine. I pray, God, this morning that I would decrease in order that you might increase and be a blessing to your people. We pray, God, that you would bless your word, that it might be like an engrafted word that will save our souls. And we thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
What's your reputation?
Come on.
In the year 2000, I went over, how many of you guys are familiar with Los Angeles?
Yeah.
There's a ministry in Los Angeles called the LA Dream Center. And I went to the LA Dream Center and I began to volunteer. And as I was volunteering, I used to volunteer in this ministry. It's called the Mobile Food Bank. And what we would do is we would load up a box truck with a bunch of canned goods and fresh groceries, and we would take them to the local elementary schools, bag the food up, and so when the moms would leave the school, we'd have about 25 pounds of food that we would give the moms. We would do this 4 days a week, 4 days a week, including Saturdays. We would go out to the communities, and we would give away free groceries in the neighborhood. And after about 2 or 3 months of doing this, now if you know what the LA Dream Center is, they have a lot of different people who come from all around the world to volunteer and to serve, especially during the summer months. And so this particular, I had been doing this for maybe about 2 or 3 months, and as I was meeting people say, oh, so your name is Darrell. Oh, you're Darrell? Hey, I was in this meeting, and your name came up. And this was what was said about you. I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, I a couple of weeks go by and I'd run into somebody else and say, oh, you're Darrell? You know what? I was in this meeting and your name came up and this is what was being said about you. Mm. See, unbeknownst to me, my attitude, my work ethic was creating a reputation.
Come on, somebody. Come on,
repeat that. Say, reputation.
Reputation.
You see, whether we know it or not, every single person in this room has a reputation.
Yeah,
see, listen to this. See, your reputation is what people are saying about you when you're not around.
Wow. Come
on now.
See, your reputation gets to your destination before you do. Right?
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Now listen to this. I'm not talking about gossip. See, gossiping is the sharing of intimate details about a person without their permission for the purpose of bringing criticism and judgment. Whereas reputation is the general belief or opinion about that others have about you based on your actions and your attitude.
Mm.
Now, the truth of the matter is this. Some of us might have a reputation as being a gossip.
Oh,
nah, just joking. Not right here. We can grab the Church of Grand Prairie. Now, listen. When it comes to reputation, every single one of us has one.
Yeah,
you have one. 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 And you have one.
Come on.
The question is, is a reputation true?
Mm.
Listen to this. Do we all know that Victory Out International has a reputation as being a worldwide ministry with over 50 years of reaching the inner cities of the world and raising up pastors, preachers, leaders, evangelists, pastors' wives, home directors, and the list goes on.
Mm.
Our founders, Pastor Sunny and Sister Julie, has a reputation as visionaries and pastors of pastors.
Amen.
Victory Outreach Church of San Jose, the rock from which all of us have been cut from, has a reputation of a sending church. How many of us actually knew that Pastor Ed actually launched out over 30 churches?
My God.
Yeah.
Victory Outreach Church of Dallas, my home church. Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie has a reputation of being faithful and loyal to the vision.
Amen. Right.
Hey, right here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia has a reputation as discipling and raising up young men and women.
Yeah.
I was in the back talking with Josh, and every time I come here, I'm so amazed about the youthfulness of the leadership here. Pastor Francisco and Sister Silver are doing an excellent job, a powerful job, of raising up young women leaders and young men leaders. Amen?
Amen.
But I have a question for you this morning.
Come on now.
What's your reputation?
Come on now.
Look at your neighbor and say, what's your reputation?
What's your reputation?
Listen to this. When Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia and the leaders are strategizing on how to take Grand Prairie for the honor and glory of God, Jesus Christ, about how to raise funds to relocate to a new building that will accommodate this massive growth.
Come on.
And you're not present, but your name comes up. What is being said about you?
Mm. Wow.
Here's my idea. Disloyal. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Oh,
one foot in the church and one foot in the world.
Ooh.
Irresponsible. Don't tithe or make offerings.
Wow.
Shows up only on Sunday.
Wow.
Wants to be a leader, but never wants to go to Vente.
Oh. Wow.
Is this the reputation? Is this what's being said about you?
Come on now.
Or maybe this is what's being said. They're faithful.
Amen.
They're loyal.
Come on.
They're dedicated. They're top givers, teachable, hungry, love hitting the streets, got our backs. They'll know what we would do without them, without that couple.
Man.
They're reliable. They got the vision. Not only do they have the vision, they've embraced the vision, and they're running with the vision.
On,
the list goes on. What's your reputation?
Mm.
See, your reputation is also a reflection of your character.
Yeah.
Right. See, character can be defined as a mixture of the decisions, beliefs, and values that help govern our lives. In other words, character is who we really are. Stephen Covey, in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, says it this way. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny.
Wow.
Well, that's good for Stephen Covey.
Hello.
What does the Bible say about reputation or character? Mm. Well, I'm glad you asked.
Come on now.
Proverbs 22:1 says it like this. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than riches, and favor better than silver and gold.
There it is.
It says here in Proverbs that a good name is to be chosen. But keep in mind that in Bible times, a person's name was a reflection of their purpose, their reputation, and their character.
That's right.
A good a biblical example of this is the story of Jacob recorded in Genesis chapter 25-33. Now take note. The name Jacob has several meanings, which include trickster. How many of us were a trickster out there on the
street? Wow.
Deceiver. How many of us were deceivers?
Wow.
Or a supplanter. In other words, someone who takes someone else's position.
Wow.
All those three terms reflect Jacob's name and his character.
Right.
And in the story of Jacob, we see Jacob trick his brother out of his birthright, deceive his father, and supplant his brother as firstborn and steal the rights to his inheritance. See, Jacob's character lived up to its name.
That's right.
Let me ask this, church. Is our character living up to our name?
Wow.
So we're called Christian. And with that name comes a character and a responsibility. Is our character living up to our name, church?
Come on, amen.
Yeah, that's a good place for an amen. I agree with you,
brother.
But thank God, the story with Jacob doesn't end there. There came a redefining in the life of Jacob, and I believe the Victory Outreach Grand Prairie this morning, God wants us to have a redefining moment.
Right. Amen.
And that redefining moment occurred that night that Jacob wrestled with God. How many of us remember that night, that story?
Yes.
The Bible says that though he came out of the fight with a dislocated hip,
come on now,
he also came out of it with a new name, which was indicative of his new character and his new purpose.
Mm.
And that name was Israel, which means one who prevailed with God.
Amen.
How would you like to have the name or the reputation of one who prevailed with God and won?
Amen.
Listen, church. Wait on the amen on this one. See, there are many of us this morning who are probably wrestling with God right now.
Come on.
Not because we want a blessing like Jacob did, but because we want to hold on to our old name, our old reputation, and our own character.
Wow.
You know those names that we used to have? Sneaky, droopy, dreamer, no good, liar, thief, can't do right.
Oh, hello.
Huh? And guess what, guys, ladies? We just might have that battle with God. We just might wrestle with God in these particular areas.
Come on.
And we just might win. But remember, there's a price to pay.
Wow.
And that price is a permanent plan.
Wow.
But you know what? It doesn't stop there. Praise God. There's always some good news.
Yes.
Revelation 2:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says this. It says that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He says, to him who overcomes, I will give him some hidden manna. Who wants some hidden manna this morning? He says, not only will I give him a hidden manna, but I will also give him a white stone. And on that white stone is a new name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A new name.
Amen.
And the only one who will know it is him who received it. And I believe that what God wants, one of the things that God wants to do this morning is he wants to give us, some of us, if not all of us, a new name.
Yeah. Amen.
I say, so what God wants to do this morning is give some of us, if not all of us, a new name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. You guys getting something?
Yeah.
I got about 7 more pages of notes, so don't worry.
Come on.
Just play. Amen. Now, let's get back to our story. That was just the introduction.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Now let's get back to our story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, about David, and see what kind of reputation that David had. Because Grand Prairie, if we're going to take this city for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, we're going to need the same type of reputation that David had. Amen?
That's right, amen.
So when we get back to the story over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, we kind of catch the story. You know, the former king, Saul, he's been kind of removed from the throne at this particular time. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God had left King Saul. And as a result of the Spirit of God leaving King Saul, the Bible says that the evil spirit was allowed by God to come and torment King Saul. I found that word torment very interesting. It means to be frightened, to be terrified, or to be paranoid. Mm. How many of you guys remember that 1984 song by Rockwall called Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me?
Yeah.
Huh? See, that's what Saul was going through. He was paranoid. He was terrified. He always felt like somebody was watching him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had sinned and had not repented.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know about you. Your experience might be different than mine. But from my experience, when I sin, hear me out. When I sin, and I don't repent, I don't go to God, and I don't confess about my sin, I'm all of a sudden, I'm paranoid that everybody in the world knows what I did.
Wow.
Oh, my.
I guess I'm different.
Yeah.
I guess you guys can sin and it's all good in the hood. Huh? It's not that way with me. When I sin and I don't repent, I'm looking at Brother Josh, kind of looking at Brother Ed. I'm looking at everybody because I'm terrified that somebody is going to find out, which is true, because what does the Bible say? It says your sin will find you out. Just like Saul's sin, and his sin was found out.
Yeah.
So as the story goes, King Saul is suffering this horrendous torment. However, the Bible says that one of his servants said this: hey, why don't we find someone who could play the harp? Mm-hmm. And while they're playing the harp, listen, while they're playing the harp, the evil spirit will leave King Saul. Mm. Now catch this. Here's a servant who saw his leader suffering, even because of sin.
Wow.
But that the servant still had compassion for his leader.
Wow.
Oh, come on now. Oh, you know how we like to treat leaders who fall.
Come on.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You know how we like to treat leaders who fall.
On my mind.
We want to clown them. Turn our backs on them.
My.
Excommunicate them.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm almost talking to the wrong church. I'm sorry.
No. Come on now.
Come on.
Especially if they were a leader who was over us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you were my leader. How could you?
Amen.
Huh? I looked up to you. You're the reason.
Come on.
Listen, here's a young man. Saw his leader being tormented by an evil spirit and had the guts to speak up on his behalf.
Wow.
Amen. Church, I believe that we can learn something.
Amen.
Thank you.
So all of a sudden, once this servant steps up, another servant steps up, and he says this. He says, you know what? I've seen a son of Jesse. Let me get back to my notes here, because this is a critical point. So then another servant says, I have seen, everybody say seen.
Seen.
A son of Jesse of Bethlehem. Listen to this. Your reputation travels with what people say about you, but it begins by what people see.
Wow.
Ooh,
I'll say it again. Your reputation travels by what people say about you, but it begins by what people see.
Come on now.
So the servant steps up and says, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking. And the Lord is with him. Now here in this passage, we see six characteristics of the reputation that the servant pointed out about David. And I believe, Grand Prairie, again, that if we're going to take this area, if we're going to partner together with Dallas East, if we're going to partner with North Dallas, Fort Worth City Church, Fort Worth, and all the other churches here in the North Texas region, we need people, we need leaders, we need men and women who have the same type of reputation that David has.
Amen.
So let's look at these six characteristics. The first one, it says that David was gifted. He played the harp well. You know, getting up here this morning, looking at the musicians, who's that on that drum?
Man.
Woo-wee.
Come on.
Making it happen over there. Where's the worship leader? You want to come about my suit this morning, brother. Amen. See, David was a gifted musician, and he made his gift available to the church.
Just like our
worship leader did, just like the drummer did, and all the singers and the keyboard player. They made their gifts available to God.
Amen.
So there are men and women, gang warriors and gang girls in this church who have invaluable talents.
Amen. Come on.
But listen, Grand Prairie, Pastor Francisco, Sister Sylvia, they don't just want your talents. They want your giftings.
Amen.
What's the difference? Talents are natural abilities. Giftings are talents with supernatural abilities.
Ooh.
It's when God takes our natural ability and anoints with his supernatural power.
That's good.
See, David was a talented musician anointed by God. And that's how he wrote all those songs that are still being sang and read here, 3,000 years later. Listen to this. Talent moves the flesh. Anointed giftings move the spirit of men.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And this has been one of my favorite scriptures for a very long time. Paul says, listen, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in the wisdom of this world. He says, my preaching was in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Amen.
See, Paul said, hey, when you hear me preaching or you read my writings, hey, it's not about how well I can articulate. It's not about how eloquent I am. It's about the power of God.
That's right.
And people, listen, God loves your talents, but God doesn't just want your talent. God wants to anoint your talents. So all of a sudden now you have a gift.
Yes.
It's the giftings that we have that are anointed by God is going to move in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, not only was David gifted, but David was also courageous. Now listen, now that doesn't mean that David did not experience fear, but it does mean that his confidence in his God allowed him to face and overcome his fears and not be controlled by them.
Wow.
See, David had a history of being courageous. Long before he faced Goliath, remember, he faced a lion and a bear and was victorious.
Right.
That's why he can say in the face of David, the Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion, the bear, will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. And for the rest of 2018, we need men and women who understand the same God who rescued them from drugs and alcohol, sex trafficking, is the same God who can deliver them from poverty, insecurities, doubts, and fears.
That's right.
When we trust God and we're courageous, remember, he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Right, amen.
We can stand up against anything. Amen.
Amen.
So not only was David gifted and courageous, but he was also a warrior.
Amen.
How many of us are former street warriors in here?
Yeah.
We get full of that Bud what?
Ooh, Dumber.
Mad Dog 2020, Thunderbird, and we want to whoop the world.
Oh.
I'm not talking about that kind of fight. That was good in those days, but hey, you know, the Bible says all those things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
See, David knew his strength and that his victory depended upon the Lord. Remember what he told David? Hey, today the whole assembly will know that it's not by swords or spears that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us.
Amen.
Listen to this. It even goes further than that. I love this here. The Bible tells that when David saw Goliath moving toward the battle line, what did David do? Did he retreat?
Nope.
The Bible says that when David saw Goliath moving toward the battle lines, David ran quickly to meet him. Oh, come on now.
Come on.
Listen, I can't tell you how many Christians that I've run to over these last couple of years, they'll have an argument with their spouse, won't come to church. The boss will say something crazy to them on the job, won't come to church. As soon as the enemy rears up his evil head, rather than chop it off, amen, or rather than shake it off, the people of God have a tendency to retreat. I don't see that attitude with David.
Come on now.
I don't see where David ever retreated in any battle.
That's right, amen.
Now, all I ever see David doing is moving forward, running toward the battle line.
Amen.
And Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, that's what we have to do, amen. When the enemy raises up his eerie head, we have to run to the battle line.
Amen.
Listen, and for some of us, listen to this. For some of us, that battle line just might be a married couple's Bible study.
Come on now.
For some of us, the battle line might be the next Sunday morning service.
Amen.
For some of us, the battle line might be the next Fired Up service, the next Saturday Night Live, Sunday Night Live service, the next gang service.
I don't know what it is
for you.
Come on.
Yeah.
But there's several battle lines, or there's several things that we can run to when the enemy raises his head.
The
days of our fight with our hands are over.
Right.
We're new creations. We have a whole different spirit and a whole different attitude about us right now. The Bible, again, I love Paul. I'm a big lover of the Apostle Paul. He really speaks to my life. He even speaks to this point.
Yes.
What he tells the Corinthians over, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians, slow down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4.
There it is.
He says this. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
But mighty.
Yes.
Through God to the tearing down of strongholds and tearing down everything that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God.
Listen,
we don't fight with these anymore. We fight on our knees, church.
Yes.
We fight on our knees. We fight with fasting and prayer.
Amen.
Hey, if we want to take the enemy out, we can't take him out with this. These have no effect on him.
That's
we
right.
must pray and we must fast. Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue to go. Believe in God.
Good stuff.
Amen. This is one of my favorites. David was gifted. David was courageous. And David was a warrior.
Yes.
Come on.
He knew how to fight.
Come on now.
But I think one of the keys that make all this work is this next point. Number 4. It says that David knew how to talk to people.
Yes.
All right.
Especially those hard to deal with. The Bible says that David was an eloquent person. Think back with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 22. In this story, in this particular chapter, we read about how 400 men, along with their wives and their children, gathered themselves to David in the cave of Adullam.
Yes.
Listen to how the Bible describes these individuals. He said they were in distress. They were in debt. They were bitter and discontented. Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, let me ask you a question. When you came to this church, were you in distress?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you in debt?
Yeah. All right,
come on.
Were you bitter?
Yes.
And were you discontented?
Amen.
Yes.
See, this group of people, this 400 men, their wives and their children, they were the outcast of society.
Yeah.
In other words, they were treasures out of darkness.
Amen. Amen. Yeah?
They were treasures out of darkness. And believe me, treasures out of darkness are not always the easiest people to deal with.
That's right, amen.
Hello.
They have issues.
Come on now.
Let me ask you, how many of you had issues when you first came to the church?
Amen.
Okay. All right, that's good. Let me ask you this. How many of you have issues today?
Come on, amen.
Come on.
All right, those of you who didn't raise your hand, your reputation says that you do have issues.
Wow.
Listen. But David dealt with them. And he did it with tact.
Yeah. Woo, come on. There it is.
He dealt with them and he did it with tact. See, the days of just chopping people up, those days are over.
Come on now.
We need men and women to know how to minister with tact and not be offensive.
Yes.
And when I talk about tact, what I mean is this. It's the ability to step on someone's shoes and not mess up their shine.
Good.
Hello.
See, it's one thing for the gospel message of Jesus Christ to be offensive. After all, he said his message would be offensive.
Right.
It's another thing for us to be offensive.
Yeah.
John chapter 1, verse 17 says this. It says the law came through Moses, but truth and grace came through Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So I'm not saying that, hey, we let a brother or a sister slide. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. We don't let them slide. Amen. But we speak the truth to them in a gracious way.
Yeah. Yes.
Stepping on their shoes, but not messing up their shine. Amen.
Good. Good.
See, this is why David would pray in Psalm 19:14, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight. And in Psalms 141:3 would say this, Lord, set a guard for my mouth and keep watch at the door of my lips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, we need men and women who know how to talk to people.
It's good.
Yes, amen.
And the fifth one. I said number 4 was my favorite. I think number 5 is my favorite too. Some of you guys, maybe some of you ladies might be able to identify with this one. The Bible says that David was attractive.
Come on.
Come on.
Now, I don't care what you say.
Come on.
I think I look pretty good.
Wow.
That's right.
That's my amen section right there. David was attractive. How many guys say, you know, how many of us in this house this morning can honestly say, you know what, I'm attractive?
Amen.
Come on, don't be shy.
Come on now.
It's not a trick question. That's not going to become a rebuke after it. Okay, how many of us say we're attractive? Come on, be honest.
Amen.
Y'all shy.
Come on.
You think it's going to be a rebuke after it? Three times in the story of David does the Bible say that David was attractive.
Yeah.
However, I believe that David's attractiveness was a little bit deeper than physical.
Mm. There, there it is.
See, David is the same person who wrote in Psalms 149, verse 4, God beautifies the meek with his salvation.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I don't know if you recognize it. Now, I don't know if Victory Outreach does this, but I know a couple of ministries that I partner with, they do this. They have the before and after.
Yeah.
And when we came, now, okay, let me kind of share my story. When I came in the Teen Challenge on April 27, 2005, in a very short period of time, I had lost about 30 pounds on an 11-day mad run.
Okay. Come on.
I was so sucked up. Listen to this. I was so sucked up that my back pockets touched each other. Oh, God. Hey. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right? Listen. The belt that I had started my run on, I could wrap around me twice. Okay? So rather than do that, what I did is I took a plastic store bag and brought it through the loops of my belt buckle.
Yeah.
And that's how it worked.
Yeah.
That was how it worked. However, about 90 days later, after eating all that beans and rice and a whole lot of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
I put on some pounds. Started looking at myself in the mirror. All of a sudden, I was the best thing in the program. Best looking thing in the program. Started looking at the other one. Let me stop. Listen. But there's a transformation that takes place. From before Christ to into Christ.
Amen.
And part of that transformation is physical. But what supports that physical transformation is the spiritual transformation.
Amen.
So that's why David could say, hey, the Lord beautifies the meek with his salvation. See, salvation brings us this whole other area of beauty or attractiveness on our lives.
Amen.
The unfortunate thing about men and women of God is that we sometimes manipulate our attractiveness to attract someone else.
Oh,
wow.
Huh? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this
Come
morning.
On, man.
I know about the Pentecostal playboy. I was in the program about 6-7 months. I learned about 5 scriptures, and I was seeing who I could hook with those 5.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, Lord.
It took more than 5 to get this one, though.
Come on.
Hey, let me tell you something, guys. If you can get it with 5, she ain't worth it.
Ooh.
If you can get it with 5 scriptures, she ain't worth it. And ladies, if you accept 5,
out.
See, there's an attractiveness of the man or woman of God that goes deeper than physical attractiveness. For the woman, it is deeper than the outward things like elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold ornaments, and fine clothes. It should consist of what is inside the heart,
Amen.
With the imperishable quality of a gentle spirit, which is valuable in God's eyes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. My wife ain't the only woman. She's physically attractive. That wasn't what attracted me to her.
Amen.
When I saw her up on that altar, worshiping God.
Hello.
That's the one. Amen. It took me about two years to get her. I knew that was the one.
Amen.
Did I think she was beautiful then? Yeah. Do I think she's beautiful yet? Nah, yes. But that wasn't the main attraction. I saw these qualities that Peter's talking about. Gentle heart, quiet, loving God, worshiping God, serving God with all that she is.
Yes.
And guess what? After being married 6 years later, she's still doing it.
Mm.
I didn't buy a limit.
Come on now.
I didn't buy a limit.
Amen.
Sometimes, ladies and guys, hey, when you first meet them, they can be all that in a bag of chips. And then when you open up the bag, you taste them, they're stale.
Uh-oh.
Then you check the expiration date. They're like 2 years old.
Oh.
You're like, how come I didn't see that? Because you're looking at the package.
Yeah.
How come I didn't? Because you were looking at the package.
My.
That's for the women. Men, our attractiveness has to be deeper than our pocket.
Amen. Come on now.
It ain't about how much money you make. It can't be that. Because guess what? The Bible says where your heart is, where your treasure is, so will your heart be.
Right.
So if it's all about your money, if you're one of those people who got your mind on your money on your mind, eventually, because the Bible says even riches will rust,
and
in some cases fly away. Ask a bunch of millionaires from 2008 who lost all their money.
Mm.
It has to be deeper than our pocketbooks. We can't try to buy our women, especially godly women.
Amen.
Women, do not allow yourselves to be bought.
Good.
It can't be about the car you drive.
Come on now.
Did I even have a car when I met you? I would recommend that to anybody. Ladies, if you see, ain't got a car, if you're still in the bus, that should be a sign. Okay? This was destiny.
Come on.
Say it again. If you, hey, if you're still on the bus, that's not a good sign. That's a red flag. Okay? It can't be about guys. It can't be about our biceps and our triceps.
Hello.
I'm working up here with about these 17, 18 pythons. You know, but it has to be deeper than that.
Amen.
Because you know, hey, y'all gonna take a sickness to take that away.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
It has to be, men of God, about our integrity, our ability to submit to God, and to lead others. Amen. You know, one of the reasons that this particular verse really stands out to me, Psalms 149 verse 4, is because in my Pentecostal Playboy days, this is the verse that my mom shared with me. My mom told me, she said, Darrell, you think you look all that good, but you don't. As a matter of fact, I don't even find you attractive. But what makes you attractive is this. This is from my mom. What makes you attractive is the Spirit of God on your life. Don't pervert.
Yeah. Right.
Don't pervert. All
right, come on.
So David was attractive. We got the attractive men and attractive women of God in the house today.
Amen.
Number six, and finally, our final one. And I love this one. I love them all. The last thing that the servant said about David was this. He said, David had the Lord with him.
Amen.
Of all the statements made about David, this is the most powerful to me. The servant says that the Lord is with him. And I got to thinking, what is it about David that stood out that would cause the servant to say, the Lord is with him? Could it have been his confidence, his boldness, his swagger?
Hello.
Maybe it was his humility. The Bible really doesn't say. And even this morning, I was still wrestling with this question about what did the servant see in David's life that he could say, you know what, man, the Spirit of God is in that man or woman's life. And this is what God shared with me. He told me to go to First Samuel, verse 18, verse 14. And it says this. David and his troops continued to be successful in all of his activities because the Lord was with him. A sign that the Lord is with us, Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, is success.
Mm. Yes.
See, the success that you've been having over these past 6 years that you guys have been here, that's evidence that the Spirit of the Lord is with you. Growth.
Amen. That's right.
Growth. Growth in the game. I was talking with a brother. What's your name again, brother?
Josh.
I knew that. I just wanted to know if you knew. I was talking with Brother Josh in the back. And he was saying that you guys are about to send out two or three students to the UTC.
Yeah.
That's growth.
Yeah.
That's growth. You know, make it again a reference to the worship team. I remember you were never bad, but I remember when the last time I was here, how far you've come since the last time I've been here.
Amen.
Growth.
Amen.
You know, seeing all the different new faces in the church. Growth.
Amen.
See, this is a sign of God that you're being successful because it's a sign that God is with you.
Amen.
See, the presence of God only created an atmosphere of success for David, but it also says for his troops. It also says for his troops. Listen, not only is Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia going to be blessed, guess who else is going to be blessed? All the men and the women who followed them. Amen.
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 See, Moses is someone who understood the connection between the presence of the Lord being with him and success. So much so that he told God, listen, God, if you don't go with me, I ain't going.
There it is.
God, if you don't go with me, the presence of God, listen, you don't send your presence with me, I'm not going.
Wow.
Wow. See, Moses knew, and both David knew, that in order to be successful, in order to see real growth in their lives and in their ministry, they needed the presence of God. So Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, if we're going to be successful in our marriages, on our jobs, here in the city of Grand Prairie with our evangelism, our gang services, our rallies, our outreaches, run for hope.
Amen.
Listen, even now, raising funds. Some of us might think, oh, raising funds is an easy deal. No, we need the presence of God to do that.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
We need God to guide our efforts, even in fundraising.
That's right.
I love the story of, somewhere in the Bible between Genesis and Revelation. You can look it up yourself later.
Hello.
It's a story where I think Peter or one of the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, hey, who do we pay taxes to?
Oh, yeah.
Would you help us pay taxes? And he says, well, show me a coin. They show him the coin, and he says, whose inscription is on that coin? He says, it belongs to Caesar. He says, okay, well, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then the disciples said, well, what do we do about the taxes, right? He says, you know what? Go to the river, reach your hand in the river, right? And you pull out a fish. Mm. In the fish's mouth, there's going to be a coin. Give that as taxes. See, God knows where the run for hope money is.
Hello.
God knows where the run for hope money is. We come up with all these methods and all these different schemes and all these different gimmicks. But at the end of the day, if God is not a part of those gimmicks, schemes, and methods, it's not going to be successful.
Wow.
Amen, it's not going to be successful. Amen. We need, even in Run for Hope, raising funds, we need God's anointing on
that.
Church, everything that we do, ushering, we need God's anointing.
Yes.
Everything that we do, greeters, everything that we do in the church, we need God's presence if we're going to be successful.
Amen.
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 Yes. Musicians, you guys can come on up. And ladies, listen. Why is it so necessary to have the presence of God in everything that we do? I'll give you three reasons why. And we're not going to explain these. You're going to understand them when I give them to you. The presence of God brings primarily three things into our lives. It brings His power. It brings His power to live victoriously over sin, self, and Satan. The presence of God also brings protection. I don't know about you, but hey, I can get myself in some trouble sometimes.
Right.
And I need God's protection.
That's right.
I'm not even talking about the things that other people can do to me. I'm just talking about what I can do to myself.
Wow.
I need God to sometimes protect me from me. I can sometimes be my worst enemy.
Wow.
And provision. God brings presence, brings provision.
Yes. Amen.
I just want to share just a real quick story, and I've shared this many a times. Can I be honest and transparent with you guys here this morning?
Yes.
Sometimes I don't always have faith in a lot of different areas. I just haven't grown in some areas of faith. But there's one area that my wife and I, over the last 6 years, have really grown to have exceedingly great faith in, and that's in God's ability to provide.
Amen. Amen.
That's in God's ability to provide. A real quick short story. A couple of years ago, I was working for a company who for 7 months did not pay me. I get up in the morning at 9 o'clock, sometimes I'd work overtime, and I did not receive a check. My wife never claimed, my wife never got on me about it. She just continued to encourage me, believing that God was going to do something great. One day I happened to be in a meeting, and the guy that I was sitting next to, he says, hey, after the meeting, here's something, go have lunch on me. Never looked at it, put it in my pocket, went on about my business. It was a Wednesday. Later on that Wednesday, about 3 o'clock, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out. It was a $50 bill. $50 bill. Wow, that's going to be a good lunch, amen? But as soon as I saw it was a $50 bill, the Lord said, give that into Life Group tonight. Now, mind you, having received a paycheck about 6 or 7 months, wife working part-time and going to school, Mother Hubbard's cupboards were bare. We have no food. We have nothing going on. And I said, well, wait a minute, God, give it to Life Group tonight? Not in the church, give it to Life Group. Okay, that's what you want me to do. Call my wife and I says, baby, you'll never believe, you know, so-and-so gave me 50 bucks, but when I read it, I believe that God wants me to give it to Life Group. My wife said, sure, go for it. No, that's not. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. She said, well, if you believe that God said, give it to me, give it into Life Group, go ahead and do that. So that night, Life Group came around. You know, after the preliminaries, there's always the offering. Well, that night, they didn't do the offering after preliminaries. So I'm thinking, man, maybe I didn't hear from God. I get to keep this 50 bucks and go home and buy some food for the family. At the end of the message tonight, Pastor Mike and Sister Wanda, who was overseeing our marriage life group at the time, they took up the offering and I put it in there. All right, God, see what you're going to do. The very next morning, the same gentleman who gave me the $50 called me. He says, hey, listen. I hear such and such is going on with you. Listen, my wife and I, we're about to head over to Malta. Why don't you come over to my house? I got something for you. When I get to his house, he opens up the door, and in his hand was a white envelope. And I know that there's money in that envelope. I just don't know how much. So, you know, you got to go through the whole protocol. You got to go and sit down and talk with him. With the whole my mind during the whole time is thinking, man, what's in that envelope? So after about 15 or 20 minutes, he dismisses me. I get in my car. I go 2 blocks down, open up that envelope. There's 2,100 bills in there.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, we'll say it again. There's 21.
Yeah.
Come on now. Somebody was talking about something you can't contain. Well, we can contain that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was still a great, great. That was a great blessing, amen. That was a supernatural blessing.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the presence of God, when we're talking about the presence of God brings primarily three things. Again, protection. Amen. He brings protection. He brings provision. And what was my last one? He brings power.
Amen.
He brings power.
Amen.
And today I believe that God wants to make that power available to everyone to change our character and our reputation.
Amen.
How many of you would honestly say, Pastor Darrell, you know, I've been struggling in some of those areas that you've talked about. You know, I'm sitting on a wealth of talent. And I haven't submitted my talent to God yet to anoint it so I can turn it into a gift that I can make available to the church.
Wow.
That might
Man.
Be, you know, that could be anything from being a musician to an artist, anything. You know what you have, but you haven't submitted it. Maybe there's some of you this morning say, you know what? Man, I'm not that courageous. And, you know, I don't know how to fight. I don't even know how to talk to people. It's okay. The power and the presence
yes.
of God is here this morning
yes.
to change that.
Yes.
To give you a new reputation. Amen. Some of you, well, you know what? Maybe your reputation in the church may not be what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Maybe you've had some pitfalls. Maybe you stumbled a couple of times. But guess what? Just like in Revelations 2:17, God wants to give you a white rock with a new name on it.
Come on now.
He wants
amen.
To give you a white rock with a new name.
Yes.
He wants to give you a new reputation. If that's you here, if you're here this morning, then that's you. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet this morning. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the worship team to begin to sing. And as I pray, as the worship team sings, and you feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, I want to challenge you, motivate you, encourage you. Make your way down here to the altar. God wants to visit with us. God wants to speak to us. God wants to challenge us, change us, and transform us by His mighty power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Christian Church. I believe that every single one of us, when we started this journey, we had a bad reputation. We had a bad name. And that name was Sinner. Sinner. Every person in this room, at some point in time in their life, had that name. We were sinners. We had violated God's commandments, transgressed his judgments, and we were considered in his eyes sinners. But what can happen for many of us, if it happened for all of us this morning, is that we can go from sinner to saved.
Yes. Amen.
We can go from sinner to saved. And what happens then is when we go from sinner to saved, we get a new reputation, a new character, and a new name. So what I want to do, I want to offer that opportunity to every single person here this morning. You can say, you know what, hey, I'm a sinner. I've transgressed God's laws. I've violated his commandments. And just so that you'll know, this is what the Bible says. It says, for the wages of sin is death. God doesn't want anyone to die and be eternally separated from him. He wants communion and fellowship with everyone. So if that's you this morning, say, you know what? I'm a sinner. That's my old reputation. But I want to grab hold of this new reputation called saved. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands and to close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that there's grace in your kingdom that can take a sinner like me and transform me into a saved believer. And that is done, God, by me placing faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who over 2,000 years ago hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross, and 3 days later rose from the grave for my salvation and my justification. And I receive this today by faith. Now I ask you, give me your Holy Spirit, I might have power to live this life like you called me to live. I pray, Heavenly Father, help me to submit my gifts and talents. Help me to walk with courage. Help me to learn how to fight spiritual battles. Teach me how to speak to people, God. Oh, help me to understand my attractiveness. I know that was hard. And help me, Lord, to walk in your presence. And I'll be sure to give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. Let me just pray one time. Father God, we thank you so much, God, for all these men and women, God, who have prayed the prayer, God. And I pray, God, that you would seal this prayer, God, with your Holy Spirit, God. Let the seal of the Holy Spirit be upon each and every single one of them, God. And I pray again, Lord God, for every man and for every woman, God, that they would be their surrender, God. They would recognize that from this day forward, God, they get to operate and move with a new reputation, God, a new name and a new character, God. And I pray, God, that for the leadership, God, they would submit themselves in front of the leadership of Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia, God, and all the leaders here, God. They may help them walk out their salvation with fear and trembling, God. I pray for a supernatural blessing on this house, God, its shepherd, God, and all of its leaders, God. I pray for prosperity, God. I pray for increase, God. I pray for a multiplication, God, from the top to the bottom, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. The Lord shall offer you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys, go ahead and make your way back to your seat. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many were blessed? Yeah. Oh, you come on. How many were blessed here this morning? Praise the Lord. That was a powerful word. Thank you, Pastor Terrell. Amen. We thank you for coming and being a blessing. Amen. How many know that they were a blessing this morning? Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
They were a blessing this morning. And so what we want to do is we want to be a blessing. Amen. He took time out of his schedule, amen, of being there in Dallas and coming over here to minister. So we want to be a blessing. I'm going to call forth an usher. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to give a love offering. Amen. to be a blessing, amen, to Reverend Durrell, amen, and his family, amen, because how many know that he imparted in us?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen, he imparted in us, amen, and we want to be a blessing. So I'm going to ask that you guys stand with me, amen, and maybe you guys could just grab something special, amen. I'm going to give a 20 here this morning, amen, amen. And you know, if you can match that, that would be an awesome blessing here this morning. But just whatever you can, as we all stand, we're going to pray, amen, because Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we're a giving church.
Yes.
Say amen. We're a giving church.
Amen.
Amen. So as you stand with me, we're gonna pray right now, and then we're gonna bless, amen, this giving. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. Lord, we thank you for such a powerful word, God, an untimed word, God. And Lord, we pray right now that you would be a blessing, God, to God, Pastor Durrell and his family, God, as they go to East Dallas, God, and continue in the leadership there, God. Be a blessing to them, God. Bless those that are giving. In Jesus' name we all say,
yeah.
Amen and amen. When you're ready to give, come on up here and give to the Lord. Come on, give Jesus some praise.
Yes.
Amen. If I could get one of the sisters, amen, to get out here with the square. We have someone that wants to give with the square here. Amen. Praise God. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then we will dismiss. Amen. Let's all stand as we get ready to pray. Amen. How many blessed this morning?
Amen.
Someone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Right there where you're at, let's go ahead and bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for this service here this morning. Such a powerful word, God. We pray, Lord, that as we depart from this place, that we wouldn't depart from your presence, God. Lord, bless those, God, even that are going to come back and go to Harvest America, God. We pray, God, for souls to be saved, God. Lord, that we would take people with us, God, that are not saved, God. Lord, so that they may meet you, Lord. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. I believe we do have a birthday. Amen. Sister Magali, it was her birthday. Amen. Yesterday. So we just want to sing happy birthday. Amen. Praise the Lord. So my wife could sing happy birthday as we call some of the girls up here. Magali, why don't you come up here? We're going to pray for you as well. Amen.
Sister Magali.
Sister Magali.
And we can have the gang girls come out here and some of the women too. We're going to sing for her. We're going to pray for her.
Amen.
Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Magali. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. We can just stand around here. Let's go ahead and let's pray for our sister. Oh my God, we just thank you, Lord, for our sister in Christ. My God, we pray for Sister Magali. My God, we thank you for giving her, my God, 20 years of life, my God. We pray, my God, that you bless her, my God, that you continue using her for your ministry, for your work, my God, for your kingdom. Raise her up, my God, to whom you called her to be, Lord God. We pray for her, my God, as she takes your plans, my God, into her life to go to the UTC, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we pray, my God, that she goes, my God, and then she gets filled with you, Lord God, with your presence, Lord God. Oh, and that you bring her back, my God, on fire for you, Lord God. Oh, we thank you again for her life, my God. We thank you for what you're doing in her, my God. So young, my God. We thank you for an example, shit, my God. We pray, my God, the other girls look up to her, my God, and see a great example, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to give God the praise for my salvation and for 20 years of life. Amen. And I want to thank my pastor,
for everything they do, in my life, all the examples that they have in my leaders. Celeste, the gang girl leader, man, she has such an impact in my life, and Urban and Amy, Asenet and Josh, I love you guys, and I thank y'all.
Lord, amen. You are dismissed. Amen. If this is your first time here, a newcomer, amen. Right here in the foyer, we're going to have some leaders, some life group leaders that are going to meet right there with you. Amen. And you can get some more. Amen. Get to know what's taking on in Israel.